Talo Falava, I'm Sosef Womoli. Join me for Sister Sounds, a music show dedicated to showcasing the breadth of talented female musicians and performers from across the Pacific. Sister Sounds will bring you amazing local talent mixed with the sounds and vibe our Islander audiences love by artists from across the seas as well. Search up ABC Sister Sounds to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Stories from the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello and welcome to Stories from the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. I'm Wendy Mockey. Climate change isn't an abstract threat in Tuvalu. It's having real-time impacts on people's lives and culture. And it's what spurred on Aselu Vaguna O'Brien. Born in Fiji and raised in Tuvalu, Aselu's journey has taken him from engineering to media, from construction sites to mapping coastlines that are disappearing before his eyes. Aselu, welcome to the Stories from the Pacific. Much like a lot of us Pacific Islanders, your name carries the legacy of your ancestors. Can you share its meaning and the story behind it for us?
Yes. Well, my name is Aselu. Mostly people just call me Selu, because Selu is a short word for comb in Tuvaluan, and mostly used in the Pacific as well. But yeah, that's probably the meaning of my name.
The meaning of your name. Selu. And yeah. May I ask, was there a family member that passed this name down to you? Like, how did you...
Yes, it was passed by my great-grandfather from my mom's side. So, yeah, that was the name Aselu.
Beautiful, Sydney. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I hear you come from a big family, 8 siblings. I have 8 siblings myself, so I totally understand and get and feel all that noise and activity and having to fight for everything. Where do you fall in the lineup? And what was that like growing up in a big family?
I'm the 4th child, the middle child from the 8 children. We grew up mostly in Fiji. And yeah, it's quite fun having to grow up there with the other extended family. And then we moved about, I think, 2008, back into Tuvalu, start our life over here.
Amazing. So it's very special and a wonderful thing to grow up being surrounded by family. I want to know, because I'm a middle child myself, did you ever feel like you weren't really, like you didn't really fit in, or you had to like, you know, struggle to really find yourself because you had so many brothers and sisters? What was that like for you?
Being the middle of good and the bad child.
Yeah.
So yeah, now having my older siblings and having the younger siblings of mine, having this responsibility of already well looked after from my older siblings, now I got the responsibility to look after the younger siblings that are still in school and still adventuring in life. Just trying to balance in that kind of thing with the siblings. So it's quite special. And enjoying it at the moment and just living life with my younger siblings and older siblings as well. Because as a middle child, my older siblings are already married, and even though I'm working and haven't still single, and I have given that responsibility to look after the younger siblings as well.
You mentioned before you were born in Fiji but moved to Tuvalu. How old were you when you moved to Tuvalu from Fiji?
I was 11 years old when I moved to Tuvalu, from Fiji to Tuvalu. So yeah, quite young back then.
Quite young, yes. And what do you remember most about that transition?
Man, it's quite a good experience, but it's a bit difficult. But then the transition was just very amazing. Always this word that says, always expect the unexpected, because growing up in Fiji, even though it's small, but you know, we grew up surrounded with mountains and in hills. And then when we got into the ship from Fiji to Tuvalu, I was told that they got mountains and it got so massive. But then that was one of my expectations. Like, I was just right in front of the ship all the time, just waiting to arrive here in Tuvalu, Funafuti. And then when we arrived, I was like, far out, mate, where are the mountains at? It's just flat, just straight flat. And but you know, that's just one thing that I didn't expect. But I tell you, it's just beautiful having that blues, beautiful sea, the beautiful beaches, and yeah, everything's just so cool when I first arrived.
Wow. So thank you for sharing that beautiful memory of the beaches and the amazing sort of sea life. And are you able to share with us how, I guess, the ocean has changed since then, since that memory of, you know, you arriving as a child?
Yes, definitely. Growing up in Fiji, we weren't allowed to go swimming. We don't have that accessible to beaches because in Fiji you have to drive long hours to reach to the you know, beautiful beaches in Fiji. But over here, it's just outside our doorsteps, and I found it quite beautiful. And when we reach here, that's the first thing that I did, just jumped into the sea and just enjoyed the beautiful sea, the scenery, and how beautiful the corals are. Mm. And yeah, and it was just magnificent. And then, yeah, 10 years came by, and swimming in the sea these days, it's just different from when I first arrived. Just no corals, everything just died out. And yeah, it's just the sea, and the sands are just washed. I know it's just all stones just outside the beach. The sands are just gone. I don't know where, but yeah. That's just the difference that from since when I arrived from Fiji. So yeah.
Now, I just want to pivot a little bit and go back to your experience growing up in Tuvalu. You spent time at a boarding school in Vaitupu, where you fully embraced your Tuvaluan culture. What was that experience like?
Yeah, you know, as I said, I grew up in Fiji and learning the Fijian ways and stuff. But then we call ourselves Tuvaluans, but then we don't know the culture, the traditions. And but then when I was put into boarding school, that's where I learned a lot about my culture and the traditions, that who we are, Tuvaluans. So yeah, the experience was just good. To be honest, I've learned a lot in boarding school. A wonderful experience that I was just blessed to go there to boarding school for 4 years.
Yeah, wow. Because it sounds like it was really instrumental in grounding you back into your Tuvaluan culture. Would you say that's correct?
Yes, that is. It's just where you learn a lot of stuff, just being an island boy. So yeah, kind of like that.
Are you able to kind of share with us what were some of the traditions or skills you learned that made you feel connected to your heritage?
Oh, how we used to make this syrup back in school when we're hungry, when we're not given enough food, we used to just gap it to the bush and then make coconuts and this coconut fruit. So we mash them together and then we make a syrup out of it. And yeah, tastes lovely, and that's just how we used to make that and then share it amongst the other kids.
My goodness, that sounds so delicious.
Yeah, it's just one of the experiences that I love when I was back in boarding school. Pretty much.
What would you call this syrup? Does it have a name?
In Tuvaluan, it's a poi. I'm not sure how we call it in English, but yeah, it's a poi, which is made out of a young coconut, the white inside the coconut.
Yes, the flesh, the white flesh inside
in the coconut. So that's, we scrape them out and then we pound them together and then we mix it with the juice of the coconut. We collect heaps of those and then we pound them together and make a bucket out of it so they can feed the other kids as well.
That sounds so delicious. I haven't had lunch yet, so that is making me mouth water and anything.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. I'm a typical like islander. Anything with coconut, I'm all over it. I love it. So this just sounds so delicious. Now, your father was a carpenter, and it sounds like he had quite an impact on your life. Are you able to share a little bit about him to us?
Yes, definitely. My dad is carpenter, which I also grew myself into, like living, working alongside him as a young child, building a few houses here in Tuvalu, also back in Fiji. So yeah, learned a lot from my dad though, just survival skills on carpentry as well. So that's what, just memories with my dad. So yeah.
I am also aware that he may have inspired you to pursue engineering. Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. I just want to follow in his footsteps and just make him proud and things that I can achieve. You know, he set the bar for me. So also just wanted to follow into that footstep and just raise the bar to the next level for my younger siblings as well.
That's so inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. And you also earned a scholarship to study in New Zealand. What was that experience like?
All right. Just growing up it's just like a kid growing up in the bush and then thrown into a city.
Yeah, wow.
It's just really a culture shock kind of experience. So, yeah. Having to, you know, coming straight from the island and just into city life, just amazing.
Amazing. And massive culture, big culture shock and shift for you, I imagine. Were you able to share how that experience may have shaped your career?
Yes. It's just going into university just opened me to other doors, windows to explore how I can venture into life. So it gave me a wonderful experience and knowledge and skills for my survival as a person. But it was definitely a beautiful experience, to be honest. As a young kid, my first time going on a plane, not knowing what to do, just like a lost sheep who doesn't know his way back to the farm. So, yeah. But I really had a lot of people around me and had a lot of connection, built a lot of connection when I was there in uni that helped me venture into my career.
Yeah, it sounds like you, even though it was quite the big shift, you landed on your feet just fine in the big smoke.
Yes. Yeah.
Now, after university, Aselu, you took an unexpected turn into the media sector. I'm wondering, how did that opportunity come about?
Coming back from uni, there's like less opportunity for engineering. And yeah, I just didn't have the opportunity for work. But then I just got an offer to join the media sector. So, you know, I was like, yeah, why not? At least it makes money, right?
Yeah. Good for to get a bit of cash, yeah?
Yeah.
That's often a good incentive for us.
So, yeah, why not just give it a try and then just jump straight into it?
Wow.
It just gave me a lot of how things work and just wanted me to go back into engineering and stuff. But I'm just grateful for the opportunity and skills and knowledge that I've learned from being a media person.
Yeah, it sounds like you're thrown into these like opportunities and then you kind of hit the ground running and you really make the most of it, which is wonderful. And I also saw that you started your media career on the first day of when the United Nations Secretary General's visit to Tuvalu in 2019, which is incredible. What was that like?
All right. What an experience, man. To be honest, I was like, my first task was like, do you know how to handle a camera? I was like, no, what do I do? She was like, I just click this button. I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait. So you're telling me that was the first time you've ever operated a camera?
Yeah, that was the first time I've operated a camera, man.
Wild.
She was like, just take heaps of pictures. I was like, sure, why not? Then, yeah. it was just one tough experience, but I was just grateful for that experience, to be honest.
Now, listen, I'm curious because I need to know, did those pictures turn out good? How did you go?
It was good, man. Pictures were definitely good.
Oh my gosh. You're a natural photographer as well. The list goes on.
and that's where I picked up from being a photographer. And that's where I started developing skills and knowledge around photography and stuff. And then everyone started asking, oh, can you take pictures of my wedding, our birthdays, and a lot of other invitations and stuff like that. So I'll just okay, sure, why not?
Oh my gosh. Talk about natural talent. How do you do it? You need to give me tips on this.
Nah, you guys are the experts, man.
not like this though. You were also involved in the Pacific Islands Forum, working closely with international media. What did that experience teach you about climate change?
Oh man, gives me a look over a change of mindset, climate change, and it really helped me a lot on understanding what climate change is. Yeah, working with the media during the PIP was such a big task, and also having great tips given by each media person that I've worked with was really helpful as well along the journey.
And did it teach you about how the world sees Tuvalu?
Yes, definitely. Just, I was like, having this experience of reading the media outlets that the media people that came over, and you know how Tuvalu is being put in the center of climate change and how vulnerable and we are in the forefront of climate change. And it just changed the perspective of me trying to advocate and coming back to these opportunities where I'm working at the moment, being a draftsman and working alongside with other members.
Yeah, wow. So as you mentioned, so you returned to your field working as a draftsman. So I'll be completely honest with you, Asilu. I don't know nothing about what a draftsman does. To me, it sounds like you're like drawing straight lines all day. Can you explain what a draftsman actually does for those that don't know, like me?
Sure. Honestly, when my mate told me what a draftsman's profession is, I was like, bro, what does that do? And yeah, so
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Draftsman is a person that creates detailed technical drawings and plans that are used in construction, engineering, and other manufacturing and designs. So I mostly work along doing designs for urban planning and rural planning and other infrastructure projects that being given tasks of Tuvalu government. So we work alongside with stakeholders and project managers to create a project that will help and that's useful to Tuvalu. So yeah. Being a draftsman's just pretty cool, man. It involves land mapping, urban planning, and other GIS-related tasks that's given. So we mostly in the office and also just outside helping land surveyors, demarcating of land boundaries, land disputes, and other things. So yeah, that's mostly what draftsman does.
I find that so fascinating, how you're working and mapping and geographic information system that directly intersects with climate change. Can you speak a little bit more towards like how you're using technology to track environmental changes in Tuvalu?
Yes. You know, there's a lot of technology these days that tracks with climate change and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's a lot of training recently. Was talking to geospatial information system and how we can just track the changes of shoreline and how it shrinks. And yeah, it just, these technologies are just given and we are just trained to just do this mapping of how the world is shrinking. And we honestly, as a firsthand, my experience is the world is definitely shrinking. Yeah, and that's the importance of technology these days. It's just more a way that we use it as, what do you say, that evidence to our policy, our leaders in terms of policy. So yeah, that's the importance of technology these days.
Now, you once described Tuvalu as a small but beautiful island. With everything you have seen, what worries you most about its future?
The thing that worries me about is just the future of the kids, that the experience that they will experience. Some of the kids these days, they won't experience things that we experienced back then as growing up, not going to swim in the sea, seeing all the corals that are died, that are gone. They'll just swim in the sea with dead corals, and that's what the future will mostly be like. But that's what I fear most of how of the experience that the kids will experience in the near future. So yeah, so that's why it fears me most.
Yeah, it's frightening to think about it, like witnessing firsthand the loss of coral and the erosion of coastlines and the disappearance of trees that, like, you remember from your childhood. I imagine, like, what sort of emotions does that bring up for you?
No, it's just sad, to be honest. It's a sad reality these days. So what can you say? And that's why we should try and do our best so that the kids can also experience the same experience that we did as we grew up.
Now, you've said that beyond science and data, real change has to happen at a policy level. What kind of changes do you want to see for Tuvalu's future?
The changes I want to see about Tuvalu is just, you know, everyone to join the conversation and join what Tuvalu is going through and how we can all help save Tuvalu and other Pacific Islands that are also in the same stake at the moment. And for the future of the kids that people will grow into. So yeah, that's just what are changes I want to see. There's not much changes happening, but that's the one definitely change I want to see, about everyone coming in together and fighting the good fight. So yeah.
That's right. Climate change is a global conversation. It's not just like Pacific Islands or left onto the responsibility of one island. It's a global. Yeah,
it's
everybody needs to come to the table.
Yeah. Everyone needs to come to the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've taken so many roles: engineer, media worker, climate advocate. I'm wondering, Aselu, what's next for you?
Yeah, right. That's a good question. So.
Well, we hope to ask the good questions.
I don't know what's next, but, you know, time will tell. So I'm just hoping the best for me in the near future. Just keep doing what I'm doing and things will come to, hope things will come good.
And if your past is any indication, I think whatever happens, you'll be able to manage it and you'll probably do really well at it.
I just definitely hope for that. Hope for the best.
Hope for the best. good life advice, huh? Hope for the best.
Yep.
Now, you're deeply passionate about making sure the next generation can experience the Tuvalu you grew up in. I would like to know, what gives you hope for the future?
It's just looking at kids. I look at I have a young nephew and his name after me. So I look at him and I just hope that he also experienced better Tuvalu in the near future. So I hope for Tuvalu have a better future. And at least we don't migrate to Australia or wherever. And yeah, I just hope Tuvalu is still standing in one piece.
Oh, gosh, thank you. That's so beautiful. Just to bring it back to about the children, which is obviously something that's very important for you and for all our family across the Pacific. Yeah, that's definitely, you know, a stark reality. Now, this is my final question. If there's one thing about your culture that isn't widely known or celebrated, but you believe the world should understand, what would that be?
Definitely a tough question.
I
mean, so world culture is just unique and not just almost the same as other Pacific Islanders. And one thing is that we're trying to express is through our traditional dances. And we're trying to express this whenever world leaders set foot into our country, we express our call for help, our love for other leaders, world leaders to listen to us and join us to combat climate change together. And that's just one tradition that I see, and it's mostly unique for us and just widely known over here in Tuvalu. And I wish that to go out to the world and so that everyone can listen to our traditional dances and see what the challenges that we face.
Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much, Aselu. Your journey has taken you across disciplines from engineering to media, from documenting history to mapping a future for Tuvalu. You've seen your homeland change, and instead of standing by, you've used every skill you've gained to make sure its story is told. Your work is a powerful reminder that climate change isn't just about data points and policy talks. It's lived experience, it's home, and it's a fight worth taking on. Thank you for sharing your story, your knowledge, and your dedication to protecting Tuvalu's future.
Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to Stories from the Pacific, presented by me, Wendy Mocky, and produced by Jaden Mailata and Moale James Proud.
If you like this episode and want more, be sure to listen to other episodes in our program by searching up Stories from the Pacific on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. This story was produced on the lands of the Yagara and Turrbal people.